Blog Talk Radio.
You don't need another political uprising. We don't need another conqueror on the scene. What we need is a special word that will burn within our hearts and give us direction from above. Just one word from the Lord will move all the doubts and cause the sun to shine and give peace of mind. Speak, Lord. Thy wisdom and thy understanding. Though we lack the very love you show in the sun. Lord, we walk to the end of thy ways, and we stand so much to gain. So give us your word, Lord.
Welcome to Seeing Clearly in Dark Times. This is your program host, Brenda K. Sanders. Well, I'm glad that you could join me again or get an opportunity to listen to this broadcast. I'm a little late today, but I had some problems, technical problems, getting on the air. But nevertheless, I'm glad that you're here this Sunday afternoon, and I appreciate you tuning in to the broadcast. And as I always say at the beginning of the broadcast, this broadcast is for you. This broadcast is for me. This broadcast is to uplift. You know, I always want to uplift in my ministry. There are so many hurting people out there that we're not aware of. And I believe that I've been given a gift of exhortation, a gift of exhortation. And, you know, just as I was saying that, I heard the word confidence. And I don't know what God is saying about confidence, but let me tell you about confidence. I believe confidence comes from within. No one can kill your confidence when God installs a spirit of confidence into your spirit. He will do it. I'm a witness of it. I think I'm a prime example of it. That no matter what may come your way, you have a built-in spirit of confidence. A lot of people don't have it. Some people don't have it. God has to work to build it up. But confidence that God gave David when he took on Goliath, and the confidence that God gave Joseph. And, you know, God will invest in your confidence. When God gives you a promise, I'm going to talk about Abram here, continue to talk about Abram in the cycle of patience. But when God gives you a promise, there may be many, 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 many trials and tests that come in between before the fulfillment of that promise, but he's investing in your confidence. He's building up your confidence. And if you're someone like me, I believe I was born with confidence, and it's ever so growing within me. I very rarely think in a downcast manner, even though it does happen. It has to be something so big that for a teeny moment, I believe I can't overcome. But I believe, for the most part, that I have a confidence that God gave me to overcome negative circumstances or obstacles and so forth. And I'm saying to you today that God wants you to have that same confidence, because I heard that word just now, confidence, where you're able to endure through the tests and trials you may have to go through to get through to the fulfillment phase of patience. And I'm the first one to say that it's not pleasant all the time. If you keep your eye on the promise, it will not be as bad, okay? But if you have your confidence together, you can see God. You can see fulfillment, because he's going to move you through all these phases I've been talking about in the cycle of patience. He's going to move you through the expectancy phase, the deprivation phase. That phase where you're feeling a famine, that phase where you feel like you just want to do what's easy, that's a big temptation of flesh. But I'm here to tell you that those are all traps we can get into that will cause us to miss what God has for us, whatever's convenient. Failing to obey God, the famine phase, I have that as a deprivation phase. The expectancy, in the expectancy phase, it could be disappointed over and over. I mean, God would tell you something. I'm going to demonstrate it here in the Word as I go through chapter 13 of Genesis. But let me tell you something. We need to hold on to God's promises until they're fulfilled. And so what we need is a spirit of confidence. We need a boosting up of our faith with confidence. Now, I believe that comes within the, you hear my phone ringing here, that's my other phone, but I'm going to let it ring. That is a part of our obedience. When you have the confidence to continue to obey, no matter what happens, you know that you've done what God said to do. And when that happens, the devil has less of a hold on your thinking, on your mindset, because you're confident. I'm telling you the truth. He does everything he can to destroy your confidence. He may want to attack. I've been attacked in every way. The devil wants to say, oh, you're not smart enough. You're not good enough to be in power. You're not, you're unstable. You may not fit the bill this way or that way. I've been through all of those things, and yet I believe my confidence has remained intact. Satan wants to take your confidence because he wants to take your endurance, your energy level with endurance out of you. He wants to suck it right out of you, draw it right out of you. And once you fail to have confidence, you won't move in the things that God tells you to move in. you won't have that faith, that requisite faith to move. Because faith without works is dead. And if you're not doing any works, you don't have faith. And so he tries to just come against you with your faith. You don't have this. You don't have this. He may be trying to tell you today, I don't have this together. I don't have this together. Well, I don't have this, God. He tries to focus on your lack. He tries to focus on your weak points maybe for time and season, because I'm a witness that God will strengthen you where you need to be strengthened when he moves you in that faith. Amen. Well, so if you don't have confidence today, continue to believe God to build up your confidence. The theme scripture for this program is 1 Corinthians 13:12, and it is, for now we are looking in a mirror that gives only a dim, a blurred reflection of reality as in a riddle or enigma. Let me tell you this, I've gone over this over and over, and I know I sound like a broken record, and I intend to, because when we know what we're walking in this life, I mean, I've been saved since 1987. I had no clue. I mean, when I first began to walk in dark things, it was pretty much in my adult life. I never had much of it, or I did not. There were so many coverings over me, you know, with my parents and grandparents. I didn't realize they were dark times. My parents kept me covered and shielded, really, from those dark things that I have seen in my adulthood. And so it was in my adulthood that I began to see dark things. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, I thought I prepared myself for all of this. I went to school. I did good. I studied, hung out a little bit, but studied even more. I worked at every opportunity. And why are these things happening to me? And so the spiritual significance of going through dark places has become more and more important to me. And I'm like, if I have prepared myself and gone through with my education like this and done all the things I thought I would do to improve my life and to stabilize my life, and God said, okay, you did all those things. You did all those natural things. But I have to stabilize you spiritually, because going through dark places, it can be very discouraging unless you know what is going on. And so you have to know what you're doing, navigate in the dark, I should call it. And it's sometimes very, very, very difficult for the unlearned spiritually when you don't know God. I'm starting to learn it even more and more and more. And it seems like the tests are more and more severe. And, of course, endurance is what patience is, enduring all of these things to get to the part where your fulfillment is, and then that cycle starts all over again. I mean, I'm not trying to jump ahead. But even as Abram and Sarah had their child, Isaac, it was more tests. Test of commitment and everything. I mean, it went from there to some more testing. But when you walk in it, you begin to recognize what they are and, move ahead and rise above them. It's not easy at first, but it took Abram and Sarah, that was 25 years of testing. And I guess I'm in that cycle, 25 years, ha-ha. You think you've arrived, it's a plateau there, and then he says, oh, you have not. You got to go through a little bit more. Okay, well, amen. I don't want to discourage you today. But he has promised that when we come closer to him, face-to-face, that intimacy that we need, you come face-to-face with God, you're going to have more intimacy with God. And that is done by constantly praying and praising God and reading his word and doing things like I'm doing now, doing this radio show. I'm so thankful for this radio show every week. But you know what? I began to teach myself. In the beginning stages of when I started this radio show in 2012, I would say to myself, why am I doing this? I could just, you know, maybe go to church and learn everything. But God caused me to do the show because it was an instruction given to me. I used to think, oh, my goodness, I don't really want to do it today. But now I'm glad that I endured through those times when I had doubt about the radio show. And it's constantly instructing me. As I always say on this, I'm talking to you, but I'm also talking to me. So we have to have intimacy with God and maintain it. You know, if you're in a natural relationship, intimacy is what sustains a relationship, not money, not material things. Intimacy is what maintains a relationship. I mean, that is if you're a normal person. If you are that person with love of money, then you will be sustained by those things. And that's going to be sad and that's going to be disastrous. After a while, it's going to fall apart. But with intimacy with God, face to face, it's going to accomplish a lot. It's going to bring about the truth. It's going to bring about reality. And God is going to be revealed. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. Well, I'm going to move right into the scripture today. That is Genesis 13. I think I started there last week. I have entitled this broadcast, Separate Thyself. Let me say something else. You know, God, he has so many ways of dealing with us. I'm not amazed. I'm becoming amazed when God does things. And don't ever discount how Satan tries to blind you because it's constantly. And I'm saying it more and more and more. But talking about this issue of separation, because I'm getting to, I think I've jumped over one of the phases, and that is I talked about deprivation, but in a very brief way, obedience and convenience. Convenience is what I jumped over. I'm going to get back to that. And then I talked about separation. Sometimes separation is brought about supernaturally so that we can see more of God and less of ourselves, less of our circumstances. Separation is an eye-opener. Separation is an eye-opener. I'm telling you, it is an eye-opener for me. It has been. And sometimes when God causes us to separate from circumstances or whatever, we can see better. We can look back with that 20/20 vision and see, oh, my goodness, I think I should have done this. Or why didn't I obey God back then? Now I got to obey God now, and it's much harder. It's much more difficult. Separation opens eyes, and I even say it in my description, I think, in my description of the broadcast, it causes obedience. Sometimes in separation, when there's a loss, you see more. Say it's relationship loss. Here with Abram and Lot, God told Abram to leave his family, leave his kindred, and his home in chapter 12. I believe it's the first or second verse. Let me see. I'm looking at, the first verse of chapter 12. He says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred," hello, that's Lot, "and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." Back to that verse. But sometimes, when God causes, God may speak it into your spirit. I want you to separate from so-and-so and so. Wait a minute. That's going good. This is our God. And then, you know, our flesh fights to counter what God says. Because it may look good, but God says it's bad. You got to get out of there. And even if it's family, even more so when it's family, because there's familiarity. Sometimes it doesn't look as treacherous. And your family can hinder the fulfillment of God's promises. Yes, you can. Yes, they can. And so God has said, look, I want you to separate Abram. He didn't do it. But I'm moving into chapter 13. I started in verse, I'm going to go back to verse 1. And it says, Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. Sometimes I can fool you when you're in disobedience. You have all you know, the blessings of wealth, of provision, that can fool you because you might think you're in God's will. And I believe here in with Abram, he may have thought he was in the will of God. Okay, I'm still rich. I came through this famine when I went into Egypt and, you know, tried to give my wife away and I got her back. And now I'm going on down to the south. God has told me to separate from my house and from my kindred, from my father's house and from my kindred. That is for those that separate from those that are immediate to you that may be causing some kind of hindrance. And then you say, okay, I'm rich, but who cares? And he travels on, it says in verse 3, and he went on his journey south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai. Okay, he goes back to the point where he pitched the tent, and he gave God praise. And here he goes in verse 4, to the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. So it looks like he made a reverse. It's a reverse. I'm just noticing that. So he had to do a little reverse and go back where he started. A reverse was caused. Sometimes God will cause us to go back where we started so that we can get the full meaning of what God is speaking to us. It may mean we have to start and backtrack so that we can see God. It happened here with Abram. And it says, under the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And the Lord also, and Lot also, which went with Abram and had flocks and herds and tents. There was a reverse. Not unusual when you're in the cycle of patience. Because when there's separation, where there's obedience, you begin to believe, you begin to see things that you did not see. You begin to see and know. I think if it happens, if you've been through separation periods before, then, you know, I'm telling you right now, the separations will start and you begin to see God even clearer. That's when you start to learn how to navigate through that dark place. And here we have Lot. And he says, and the land was not able to bear them, this is verse 6, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. You see, God will bring about that supernatural circumstance where you have to obey God. You will have to obey. And if you don't do it on your own, God is faithful. Isn't he a merciful God? Well, you're going to have to obey God. Circumstance. Praise God for that. And it says in verse 7, there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelled then in the land. And Abram, this is verse 8, and Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between thy herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Well, you might be brethren. God has caused you through this circumstance to supernaturally separate. And I don't know. I've gone through quite a few separations lately, and I know that God is opening my eyes. He's causing my obedience through the separations because there's something about separation. I'm thinking about this song. I'm thinking about the words of the song, and I'm thinking it's not a Christian song, but something about separation bringing appreciation. It opens your eyes. I mean, even the pain of separating from something, even if you wanted to separate, even if you didn't, I'm a witness that even you wanted to separate, there's sometimes pain and grief and stress. That can be eye-openers. It really can. And so here they are. Now Abram is beginning to realize that their strife is developing. You see, those are the consequences of disobedience. And now other people are being affected by his disobedience that he was supposed to obey in Genesis chapter 12. And I know how that is. His eyes are starting to be open. And now he wants to obey because there's this domino effect of strife going from Abram and Lot to the herdmen. And they're starting to fight and be in discord. And verse 9, I think I'll stop here. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself. There you go. Separate thyself. I pray thee from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, and I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, and then I will go to the left. Okay, here we go. The separation has caused obedience. The separation caused revelation. Backtracking and then saying, uh-oh, I missed the step. You see, in the cycle of patience, we can miss steps when we don't realize what God is doing in our life. And sometimes it's totally innocent. Like, I'm going to miss my family. I'm going to miss my kindred. I'm going to miss this place, this house. I'm going to miss this car, this job. I'm going to miss it, you know. This is probably the best God has for me. No, it isn't. He is growing you. He is maturing you. And God knows best. And so sometimes people have us to backtrack where we can see where we miss God, and then we move into separation and then obedience. Sometimes we don't want to separate on our own. I mean, he gives us a little season there. And then there's a separation from the things that we thought we needed to see God's fulfillment. He says, no, I want you to separate. And then I want you to see why I want you to separate. Not all the time, but I want you to obey what I said the first time. And that has happened here. And then we finally see Abram just obey the first voice of God, the first instruction that we find in Genesis chapter 12. Just obey. Separate from your kindred. God knows what he's saying, and he knows what he's doing. And that's why I say we have to obey him sometimes with blind faith. As we learn who God is, we can, you know, obey him with blind faith. And I guess our human reasoning and our human thought processes won't have as much dominion over or influence. And so those can be, you know, dangerous things when our flesh tries to take over when God tells us to do something. It is something that we try to fight, but it's not that healthy. Because God is going to have his way, I'm telling you now. He's going to have his way. And it's something that he will bring about supernaturally. Let me just tell the story and then I'll leave the broadcast. I bought an item this week, and God is always constantly on me about keeping records, because Satan wants us not to win in any situation. I bought an item, and I had the receipt for it. I brought it home, and I was cleaning out my purse yesterday. I bought the item last week. Cleaning out my purse, going through my papers, and so many papers in my purse, and it's all these papers, you know. And I was waiting on my sister and my great-niece and nephew to, they were going to do something. I was waiting on them. I thought I could clean out my purse. I made a mistake, and I threw away the receipt for that item. And I said, okay, well, I don't need it anymore. I brought the item home. It's working fine. And today, let me tell you today, you know that item stopped working? I mean, Satan supernaturally caused that item to stop working after a week. I had that receipt for a week. Yesterday afternoon, I threw that receipt away. Satan is always doing things to cause us loss. God said, I want you to keep your records, document everything. And see, I failed in that endeavor. And I just tossed it and didn't think anything of it. Oh, well. You can appreciate, and I can appreciate now, that Satan is that busy in our affairs, supernaturally intervening to cause us loss, to cause us to miss God. And God will bring the circumstance to teach us something so that we can obey. Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad about it. And right now, I'm going to the place where I purchased that item and trying to get a replacement without a receipt. God's grace is sufficient. There's a way. We've already found out that's the way. My sister called and found out a way. But why go through all that when I could have just kept the receipt? Amen. I know I'm preaching right now. Amen. But the thing is, separation can cause a lot of vision to come and cause us to obey God, just like it was here with Abraham and Sarah, till we get to the next test in the cycle of patience. Well, that is all I am going to say today. I thank you again for tuning into the broadcast. I try to get as much in as I can with these broadcasts, you know, but I just say what's in my heart and what I believe God wants me to say. If you want to listen to an archive broadcast of this episode, you may go to blogtalkradio.com/BrendaKSanders. And if you wish to have a prayer request, a comment, your own commentary, I'll even receive that. Whatever it is, you may email me at seeingclearlyinthedark@gmail.com. And I will be faithful to answer your concerns or pray with you or, you know, prophesy with you or whatever. Whatever God leads me to do, all right, for you. And let's see, if you do that, I've recently had some problems with the email, but please be patient. I will hope to get back in that email and return your questions. All right, well, thank you again for listening, and talk to you next time, and have a blessed week.
song that was sent to me, and I had already decided what songs I was going to sing, and but when I got this song here, I said, oh, wait, there's another good one. Looks like he always come out with good ones, and he wrote something called The Oil of God.